God, show me somebody who's hurting. Father God, how can I be a representative of Jesus in the earth today? How can I be an ambassador on my job? Teach me how to love the people that are impossible to love, the people that are difficult to love. God, take away the insecurities inside of me, because I've got work to do. I'm a child of the King. Keep my head up high, God. Moving with the Holy Spirit. Moving with the Holy Spirit. He is what we need in the church this hour. But I feel like he's so neglected. He's the one who brings the power. Listen, when Jesus went into the wilderness, the Bible says he went in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Before he could lay hands on anybody, the power of the Holy Ghost had to lay on him. What more do we need? The power of the Holy Ghost. And the power of the Holy Ghost to settle in our lives. This is why when Paul was saying, prophesy, 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 it's a gift that works hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. Not saying the other ones don't, but there's something about this gift when it comes to building. It just attracts the Holy Spirit. Because the prophecy, let me tell you why it attracts the Holy Spirit. Oh my God. Whenever God was creating the earth, the Holy Spirit was hovering, right? In order for there to be, God's word had to come out of his mouth and join with the Holy Spirit, and they work together. God's word and the Holy Spirit are so attracted to each other. They go hand in hand. So when you're living a prophetic life, you're living the word of God, which holds hand in hand with the Holy Spirit, and you're walking together. Your steps are ordered by him. Your words are ordered by him. Even your thoughts. I'm telling you, the Spirit got into my head this year. I mean, I thought I was a pretty good Christian. He got into my head and goes, I don't like you thinking about that. Don't you dare. But God, they did me wrong. He's like, no, drop it. Forgive or drop it. I can hear you. You can hear me, right? You can hear me. It's the Lord talking to me. I'm like, even in our thoughts, where he's teaching us, don't think like that. Don't think like that. Because when you begin to think like that, it's going to go into your character. It's going to go into your character, and you'll be doing that kind of stuff. It'll get easier to not forgive. It'll get easier to get away with little small foxes, little small sins, the little small tiny ones. You see, and then when we begin to move in the power of the Holy Ghost, this is where that character is important. Because now you begin to handle something so powerful. And if we're not in line with what we need to be doing, it can destroy us. That power is his glory. Anointing and glory are two different things. Anointing is the place where we can just be us and be our hot mess and be okay. Glory is the place where when you do that hot mess in the glory, you're struck dead. Okay, I'll give you an Old Testament example and a New Testament example. Old Testament, Moses, anointed, anger problem, okay? He was okay till he went up to the mountain and saw the glory. Then he tried that anger thing again. You know what God said, told him? You're not going to the promised land. Because when you see my glory, I don't play that. So you're just going to see it with your eyes, but you're not going to touch it. But God is faithful because he took it to him like later in the Mount of Transfiguration. So God's awesome. New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira. Can I tell you, actually, when I read that story, they told, quote unquote, a little white lie. They said in their mind, this is what we're going to give to God. Then they didn't tell anybody, and they just said to themselves, you know what, let's not. I know we told the Holy Ghost we'd give him everything, but we don't have to, just between us, because we're looking at our finances, and we got to pay the phone bill, and, you know, the electric's due, dear God, you know, we got to do this, and we got to take that, and that, all kind of stuff. So, no. Let's just give 70%. But when you enter glory, Peter, who wasn't even there, comes and says, yeah, you lied to the Holy Spirit. Is that serious? So they drop dead. So he's developing our character so we know how to handle the Holy Ghost. He's not our co-worker. He's not our second cousin twice removed, you know, who can have a barbecue with. It's the Holy Ghost. We handle him delicately. And when we understand, and in fact the word says, and a fear came over them. Not a reverence like, oh, no, a fear. We need that fear to come back into the church. Because we got to be careful how we are handling the Holy Ghost and handling his people. Because that makes you now be careful with, how do I speak into this person's life? How do I speak into that person's life? Because I am answerable to the Holy Ghost who is moving inside of me. I'm answerable to this God who died for these people. I just cannot say anything. Father, train my tongue to speak the words that you want to speak. Father, train my tongue to say the things that you have ordained for people. Father, train my tongue to be sensitive to the words of the Holy Spirit. Train my mind, my ears to hear what it is that you are saying. Amen. Is this good this morning? And then just this last one, I promise, and I'll end here. Prophets were problem solvers. I promise. It's not a Pentecostal one more. I promise. This really is one more. They were problem solvers. Where they showed up, when they showed up, they brought solutions. And some of the things that they came across, maybe they couldn't handle, but they were so sensitive to the voice of God that the one who knows all the answers was the one who what? They could ask. There were problem solvers. Elisha comes to a certain town, and one of the widows there, she's about to lose her son. She sold everything, and now her boys are going to go into slavery if she doesn't pay up everything. Excuse me. And she cries out to Elisha, and says, I need you to help me out. Your servant was a man of God, and now they're going to take away my boys if you don't help me. Elisha wasn't like, well, you know, I don't know. He didn't sing Kumbaya with her and just be like, I just don't know. This is so beyond me. He was listening from God to say, Father, what can I tell this woman? And he gave her strategy. He says, go borrow pots and get as many as you can. Don't get a little bit. Go and get as much as you can. Bring it back. What do you have? I have oil. Begin to pour the oil. When you pour it, go sell it. When you sell it, pay your debt and live off the rest. Come on, we gotta have people. We gotta be people of strategy. Guess what's beginning to happen? Where the church is the place where people are coming to for answers. The church is the place where people are coming to for how do I need to do this? People are out there who are stressing over a bad economy. Guess what? You're not on the earth's economy because you are on the kingdom's economy. You're the people they are coming to come and tell them, how do I do this and how do I do that and how can I save and how can I do that? You have the answers. Yes, you do. Every single one of you. You don't have to go to Bible school. You have the answers for everything out there. You hold those answers. God has given you that. By listening to God and living in that realm of the prophetic, we're listening to the voice of God and speaking into the lives of people and giving them strategy on what they need to do for the situations that they are facing out there. Amen. We're speaking into each other's lives about what we need to do, how we need to raise our children, how we need to love our spouses, how we need to manage our finances, what we need to do with our homes. You have the key. You have the answers. There's some brilliant financial people here that maybe might don't even work on Wall Street, have never stepped into there, but know how to handle money right here in this church. Show others your gift. If you're still here, you still have a gift to share. Your dream isn't over. Prophesying keeps you alive because it's speaking to that core purpose in that person, but also in you. You're speaking the life of God. You're breathing the life of God. You're imparting the life of God into other people. Amen. People of strategy. People who know how to move forward and lead and direct other people and giving kingdom answers, giving kingdom strategy, seeing what God wants to do, not just our way, but God's way. Amen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up, and I want them to play that song, There's Power in the Name of Jesus. And what I want us to do, every single one of us in here are going to prophesy. Now hold on before you get too nervous. If all you have is a Bible verse to say to somebody, say that. If all you have is a blessing, say that. But I want you to get comfortable and okay with speaking into people's lives. Speaking the word of God. Encouraging them. It might just be somebody needs a hug. You don't know. We dress up real cute, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You just don't know. I've sat next to women who are being abused at home, but when you look at them, they're so put together. And they have just been battered upside their head and you can't tell. My husband sat next to men who are so broken. Disrespected at home. Have a low self-esteem. Because at home and at work, nobody rejoices in them, celebrates them. Young people, older people who are so tired of life, they want to give up. Suicides is just on their mind. You don't know who's sitting next to you. You don't know if somebody next to you has, God, I just need a touch from you today. Some people can handle pain so well. I can. I tell everybody what's wrong. Everybody. When I have a cold, my whole family knows, right? Yeah. But some people know how to handle pain. Have back pain and you never knew. Aches and pains every day and they get up and they don't complain. Don't say a word. So that person might just need healing spoken over them. Just agree with them this morning. So we're going to get up out of our seats. And we're going to get comfortable. It might feel awkward. That's good. It means I'm exercising that muscle. I hate working out with my husband because he always pushes me to that next level where I'm like, God, are you sure we're supposed to be married? Serious. He does like crazy curls like, dude. So I want you to step a little bit out of your comfort zone. It's okay if it feels awkward.